We are going to confess that in you we are more than conquerors. We are going to confess that no weapon formed against you will stand. And we are going to confess that we know where life and hope and peace and joy and purpose and meaning, right down to the smallest tear shed, to the greatest or smallest smile given on our faces, we know that in you is all purpose and everything that we need, Lord. And so we confess that by your mercy and your grace, we have been made children of God. We confess that in you, Lord, our sins have been washed away and we have been made clean. We confess that in you there is victory. We confess that in you this week ahead of us will offer opportunities to save and live in the power of your Holy Spirit. We confess, Lord, that we have only begun to taste of the joy of your presence in our lives. We confess, Lord, that we need even more of your Holy Spirit in our life every day. And so we bless you and we praise you and we confess that as children of the King, we bow our heads in reverence and yet we lift up our eyes to the hills where you are, from whence comes our help, Lord. And so bless us today. Help our confession to be as serious and real as it can possibly be by the anointing of your Spirit. We pray this all in your name. God's people said, amen. Please be seated.
We're going to be in John chapter 11. Couple of things I like. This is about Lazarus. A couple of the neat things in here. One is Jesus kind of tries to tell his disciples that Lazarus is sleeping, and of course they're kind of like, well, then we'll wake him up when we get there. So then Jesus has to say, he's dead. Oh. The other part I like, and I don't know if we're going to get to that or not, but when Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And I always wondered, what if he'd have just said, come out? How many people would have actually come out? You know, he has to be very specific and say, Lazarus, otherwise there might be, you know, 200 people in that hill that it would have come out. Kind of neat. All right, we're in chapter 11 of John, starting with verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples, though he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Here's the end of the reading.
Thank you. I need a Lazarus. Noah. Oh, you want to be, no, you're going to come down with one of the kids. Yeah, no, you're my Lazarus. And I need a Jesus. Scott, thanks for volunteering. Grab a chair, put it up here. Scott, grab that chair, bring it up here. Just lift it, yeah, pull it apart. Push down on the one, there you go. And then grab that one, we need three of them. Right here. There we go, lay them right next to each other. A little bit of gap. All right, Jesus, you're over there. All right, kids, come on down. Lazarus, you're dead. There we go. Don't pinch me. There you go. Good. Be dead. We should have probably taken his glasses off, but who knows? You never know. All right. I want to teach you about three different kinds of death today. Okay? In the story, we have Lazarus, who apparently got sick, and he died. That means his heart stopped beating. And we learned from the Bible, it says his soul left his body. And so if you'd walk up to him and poke him, he wouldn't laugh. He wouldn't cry because he was dead. And then it says Jesus was a long way off with his disciples, and he came over here, and I want to show you something about the power of Jesus. Now, Lazarus, watch this. Lazarus, move. Lazarus, talk to us. Lazarus, they got a good chocolate cake over there. Aren't you hungry? Lazarus, nothing's happening because he's dead. Okay. Now, this isn't quite like in the story, but I'm going to have him show you. So Jesus' power, here, watch him. He came along and picked Lazarus up and brought him back to life and brought him right out of the, set him down, tomb. And his heart was beating, boom, 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 boom. And he ran over and ate the chocolate cake. wait, not yet. And he was alive again. That's called a physical death and a physical resurrection. Now, in this story, there's so many more things going on. Watch this one. You're dead again. Three ways. The first one was physical. All right. Now, a lot of the people around him didn't know Jesus. And so they are what we call spiritually dead. A spiritually dead person means they were born and they can run around. You know, it's cake, I had to move and everything else like that. And they say hi and they grow up and all. But spiritually dead means they have no faith in God. They're dead. And so nothing happens. Don't you want to come to church and worship with us? They're dead. Isn't Jesus good? They're dead. They never say yes. They never say anything. Okay, because they're dead. Now, here's what God's got to do. Jesus, God, sends the Holy Spirit. You're now the Holy Spirit. Picks him up. Stands him on his feet. Now watch. Here's something a little different. Holy Spirit comes and begins to pour power even into his hands and movement. And he begins to give his power to this dead man who's now alive. Wasn't that nice? That's spiritually dead. Last dead. You're getting good at this dead part. All right, you want me to leave him here? See how long we go here? This. Where are you going for lunch? All right, sorry. Last dead. When somebody dies and we put them in the grave, there's going to be what we call a waking up, a standing up time. It's called the resurrection. Resurrection means to stand up. Now, Jesus, when it comes to the very last one, there's not only this kind of dead, which is physical dead, but this kind of dead is also, if you're not careful, what we call eternally dead. And this is what that means. If this man doesn't know Jesus, then the devil will come along. When he comes out, he'll take him by the hand and he'll walk him right straight to hell. But this man knows Jesus. And so there's a very different resurrection for him. And in this one, Jesus comes along, lifts a dead man up again, for the last time, Scott, good job, puts him on his feet, and he takes him by the hand to the heaven. Go. Well done. Come on back. You get your treat. Three kinds of dead. What's the first one?
Physically.
What's the second one?
Spiritually.
Spiritually. What's the last one?
Eternally.
Can you remember those big words? Can you say them? Physically. Ooh, well done. One more time. Physically, spiritually, eternally. Outstanding. You guys get treats first. Well, the sermon's over. You guys got it. Help yourself here, gentlemen. Take two. They're small. You guys are big people. There you go. You guys just get one. But help yourself. Yes. I'm so happy. Grab one. There, whatever you want. There you go. They're one or the other. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Did I get everybody? You got thank you. What a pleasant topic I bring up on a beautiful spring day. The resurrection means nothing if you don't understand the dying. The three deaths are real. The physical death, obviously, is probably the one you're most familiar with, in the sense that someone's heart stops, they stop moving, communicating, functioning, they're gone. They've been removed from our sight. Scripture says that their soul has left their body, and their body is nothing but the lifeless container that their soul used to be in. And that one day, that container and that soul will be reunited by God, and they'll be brought out of the grave, meeting Christ in the cloud or wherever, however it's going to be working out exactly like Scripture says, and that joining of that body and that soul will be redone. And that's the miracle of the physical resurrection. Lazarus gets to experience it a little bit different because Lazarus experienced a physical resurrection, a return of the soul to the body, but he got to live again in the sense of he had to live out some more years of physical life. And so that's that situation for Lazarus. The spiritual death is what Jesus was talking about all around this resurrection. In other words, you understand, he said, I'm not going to go. Lazarus is gone. I'm glad Lazarus is dead for your sake. Well, he's not saying I'm glad Lazarus is dead. He's not saying I'm glad for death. He's saying for your sake, I'm glad you get to learn something because I want to make sure you're spiritually alive. And so when you understand that because we have been born in Adam, we are spiritually dead and powerless. You are as innate as the little illustration was. You are as lifeless, hopeless, and useless, totally separated from God. You are headed for hell unless God intervenes, the Holy Spirit intervenes, and brings you from death to life. And that work is God in Christ, or the Holy Spirit, working in you, stand you up, and then I try to get him to try and empower you. He empowers you to move and think and confess, Jesus is my Lord. Well, I couldn't say that except the Holy Spirit empowers me. And so you begin to understand the physical death and resurrection is only one. The spiritual death is far more critical in the sense that it results in an eternal reality. The last one, of course, I didn't know how to play it quite out perfectly, but I wanted to understand that in terms of heaven and hell, you have an awareness that apart from Christ, you will be raised in the sense of go, come up, stand up, and be escorted to hell. That is it. That's the forecast. That's what Scripture consistently says. And so in Christ, you have God coming to you, standing you on your feet, and escorting you or taking you to heaven. And so that illustration of those kinds of death are really important, because you won't quite get all the stuff that's happening when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Okay? And he goes, and you will never die. The phrasing I asked John to stop on, but not because I didn't want to finish the rest, but I wanted that, do you believe this, is the challenge. Okay? Because the challenge is, whether you like it or not, that final day resurrection's coming. And if you don't have Jesus to raise your, you know, take you by the hand, or joining him in the clouds, that other option is available to you or anyone else. And so we need to feel both the intensity and the fear that that brings. If it's a reality that this person who doesn't know Jesus is going to be escorted to hell, that's the challenge for us as people. That prioritizes things in our lives. That gives us motivation and focus and everything else. Because apart from the work of God, that person is dead in their trespasses and sins. And so when you start to understand the three things that are taking place, and Jesus is responding, I am the resurrection. He's the resurrection in all three conditions. He's the resurrection in all three of the conditions. Because it says at the end of this section that because they saw Lazarus raised from the dead, people put their faith in him. They began to trust him. That was the resurrection from dead life into life. They said, we now see that. The Spirit of God was able to work and quicken in those, just bring those dead people to life. That's why Jesus could say, for your sakes, I am glad Lazarus is dead, because this is what you're going to see, and you're going to be understanding, I am exactly who I say I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And then you've got someone, you know, like Martha, and there's beautiful testimonies in this section about Martha. I don't know if you ever have the old, oh, are you a Mary or a Martha game, you know? And then you go, oh, you're such a Martha. And we kind of go, well, hang your head high. I'm glad I'm a Martha. Why? Listen to her. Watch these things that Martha says at these points. Lord, she comes and Martha says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But I know, here's her faith, that even now, God will give you whatever you want. I know who you are. You want, God's going to do it. I have no doubt at all. She just stood there and said, you want to you do it. She knew it already. Look at the next point, jumping down a few verses to verse 24. Your brother, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha goes, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. A statement of faith. Third one, coming up a little farther down. Jesus goes, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then she responds, yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Don't ever belittle Martha. All right? This is a woman of faith. This is a woman of boldness. She understood. Remember how last time we were talking about with Jesus the whole challenge of, I'm the bread of life, and he kept going, you guys didn't get this. Martha got it. She's got this thing figured out. This is a spiritually alive woman. This is a woman putting her trust that Jesus will raise me from the dead, and on that last day I will be escorted into heaven with him. This is a woman that is putting her trust in God, and she testifies to it in the examples that we have here. So the challenge now is, as Jesus is looking around, he's got his disciples, and they have a certain amount of faith, and there's a certain amount of things that are going good and bad, and so he has this moment where Lazarus dies, and Jesus responds, he's dead. Like John pointed out, the disciples didn't quite get that. You know, well, if he's sleeping, then that's a good sign. You're sleeping, then he'll recover. And she says, no. He's dead. But I do like it, the fact that Jesus goes, I need to go wake him up. Death to me is, you know, it's that big old massive thing, right? It's, you know, heart stoppage and no movement. And, I mean, it was a nice illustration, but the fact that we all knew that he was alive made it a whole lot easier than if I'd have had somebody in the coffin going, get up! You know, that wouldn't have been humorous at all. But you understand, here's Jesus going, you don't understand. I have the power over life and death. I am the resurrection and the life. And he's addressing the full gamut of all three deaths. The spiritual death that Adam and Eve experienced comes right at the beginning when the promise of the Messiah is given. Someone is coming, he'll be a man, and he'll crush the head of the serpent, and you will experience that life that God wanted to give to you again. And Adam and Eve had to trust that, and that was that beginning work of this change of their spirit, and they're bringing them back into the Lord. And each one of these situations is handled as Jesus said this. Now watch what he does as it goes through here. All right? It says, Jesus makes this statement about I'm the resurrection and the life. And then Jesus goes like this. Verse 20, I'm going to read verse 28. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? Come and see, they replied, and Jesus wept. I mean, this moment of death, these three deaths that plague our lives, this breaks the heart of God. It broke the heart of God to watch Adam and Eve do what they did. It breaks the heart of God to watch the consequence of sin bring sickness and disease and suffering and pain across the gamut of all of our lives, across the universe. It is that curse of sin that was brought in when Adam and Eve chose to follow that path. And then Jesus, weeping, says this. The Jews said, see how they loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? That's the spiritual deadness. So watch the spiritual deadness change. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across an entrance. And he said, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor. The King James says he stinketh. One of the kids, you give them an assignment, make a poster from some significant thing from the Old Testament. He stinketh. Well, we all knew where it came from, but he's been dead a long time. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? You're about to see the spiritual resurrection take place in the middle of the physical resurrection. And when the spiritual resurrection takes place, it is going to carry itself through to the eternal resurrection and the eternal carrying it through into the presence of God. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out with his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes, let him go. There were many Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, and they put their faith in him. I'm the resurrection and the life is not singularly just physical resurrection. We kind of wish that whenever we get sick or suffering, that we'd have that kind of Lazarus moment, that when we have people we love in a condition or a circumstance of even death, that somehow God would just bring that back. God can certainly do it, but he hasn't done it very many times. And so in this moment, the miracle is that these people who were spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins see this, and the Holy Spirit is finally able to break into their world and quicken in their hearts' faith. We now believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We now understand who you are and what you've brought to come to bring us. And so the miracle in the story of Lazarus is all three resurrections are taking place in one form or another, in the sense that as a dead man who is spiritually dead comes and is resurrected by the power and the call of the Holy Spirit on his life, this man begins a walk of eternal life into heaven. He will never die. It's an eternal beginning that he will never die again. I will live, and as Jesus says it here, all right, the second part he goes, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And the challenge, of course, is he's addressing all three of the resurrections, of which he is the answer. And so in the framework, we're about to see not only, you know, Lazarus come back, and the Jews were livid. If you go into the next following chapter, it comes in chapter 12, and it's starting about verse 9 and 10. A large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. This miracle of Lazarus turned some people into believers, turned others into sealed, hell-bound individuals, because they would not accept that Jesus had the power over life and death. Here it was right in front of them. The miracle was all there for them to see, and they instead rejected it. They instead thought of themselves, and that was what their concern is. Later on, a little bit farther on, it talks about the phrasing where the priest and the high priest says, it's better for one man to die for the people. And he addresses, he said, we've got to kill this Jesus. And so this is the context of what finally brings about the political pressure that finally results in Jesus' crucifixion and his death. And you need to understand that process, because Jesus looks and he says, when I come into your life, I don't come to bring one resurrection, I'm bringing three. That first resurrection, that dead man to a living spiritually. That second resurrection, in our case, will be that resurrection from the dead, the power over the physical death. And the third resurrection and the third grace that covers it is the overcoming of the spiritual and eternal death into heavenly hope with God forever in heaven. And so in Christ, he is making them stand up, walk with me into each one of those things. And what God's powering the people to do as they watch this, and again, one of the dilemmas that Jesus always deals with, the very thing that brings life to some brings death to others. Not because there's something wrong with the message. Not because it was unclear. Not because they didn't see Lazarus raised from the dead. It was because they saw something different when Lazarus raised from the dead than the power of God. They saw a threat to their position, to their power, to their lifestyle. And all of that was under attack. And so when these men proceed to find out reasons to kill Jesus, they do that because Jesus forces them to change. Jesus' truth is different than our truth. Rather than us having to rely on the priest, you have to trust in Jesus. It changed everything that they were living with. And so one of the challenges that we have in terms of our own lives is that many times God is not only calling us to live in resurrection power, the power of being dead men brought to life spiritually, but also the power that, you know, as God begins to move my hands, my head, my feet, my mouth, all things, that pouring out of the Holy Spirit into my life, he calls us to live differently than we anticipated. He calls us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. He calls us to live confidently, resting in Jesus. And so as we think about this, I am the resurrection and the life, as Jesus finishes up the completion of his life, the sacrifice on the cross, his death, and finally the second testimony that obviously drove the priest mad, because it was this overwhelming reality that the people will follow this Jesus because they see in him this power to overcome these three deaths. And so our opportunity as we look at that and we start to understand it, we recognize that Jesus is not only the resurrection power over my spiritual death, but he's the resurrection power over my physical death, and he's the resurrection power over my eternal death. And in him is life, all life. Pray with me if you would. Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. In you is the power. In you is the grace. You have brought dead people to life spiritually. You will bring dead physically people to life. And you will carry them and overcome the eternal death of hell with the blessed gift of heaven. You are the resurrection and the life. We believe in you, Lord. Help us to do that without hesitation. Help us to do that without doubt. Help us to do that in the power of your Spirit, and help us walk in that authority and grace. We pray it all in your name. Amen.